The title for today's study is Thoughts for the End of May. It was, coming up to this, I was, I always have thoughts, and a lot of times I'll put them together. They may seem disconnected, but for the most part, even though they may not be on the same subject, they do fall in between the covers of the Bible in Scripture. And to me, they were, they're interesting points, to look at that you may not necessarily look at on a daily basis or sometimes don't ever really consider. But it's fun to find these things and look at them and kind of study what the importance is. So the first one here is the significance of three. And you can find three in so many places that it becomes obvious that it's not coincidence. And we'll get into that. So let's go to Matthew 18:20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And then 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity, is love. Acts 2:41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. There's your three. Excuse me. I got a little tickle in my throat this morning. As I choke to death here. Sometimes all it takes is one drop to drown. Daniel 10:3. I ate no pleasant bread. Neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all till three whole weeks were fulfilled. Ecclesiastes 4:12. And if one prevail against him, who shall withstand him? And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And here we go. Back we go. Okay. And this is Ecclesiastes 4:16. Excuse me, 4:16. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. 2 Kings 20:5. Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. In Scripture, the number three signifies divine wholeness, completeness, and perfection. Whenever biblical writers wanted to emphasize the ultimate significance or fulfillment of an event, idea, or individual, they used the number three as a divine stamp of approval. Whether the number three stood by itself or was part of a larger number, the significance of its inclusion becomes evident the more we read of this particular aspect in Scriptures. So go back to Genesis 15:9. And he said unto them, take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Here we find the importance of the number three in the acquisition of livestock, and it was highly significant in the ancient Near East. It indicated full maturity and prime condition, signifying that Abraham was giving the absolute best of his flocks and herds to God. And by now, most of you already know and are recognizing what that pattern is and, you know, what that inline meaning is. Genesis 18:2, and he lift up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, bowed himself toward the ground. Genesis 29:2. And he looked, and behold, a well in the field, and lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of that well they watered the flocks, and a great stone was upon the well's mouth. Genesis 29:34. And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him three sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. Genesis 30:36. And he set 3 days' journey betwixt himself and Jacob. And Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. Genesis 40:10. And in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossom shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. The chief butler, or cupbearer, had offended the Pharaoh and was imprisoned. While in prison, he related a dream to Joseph, who was also in prison, as the Genesis 40:10, which Joseph interpreted, as in Genesis 40:10. Which Joseph interpreted to mean that the chief butler would be restored to his position within 3 days. In the biblical account, Joseph's imprisonment was the result of a malicious fabrication by Potiphar's wife. Although Joseph had been a faithful administrator over the estate of Potiphar, the captain of Pharaoh's guard, he was unjustly penalized after constantly resisting and escaping her attempts at seduction. We move to Genesis 40:12. We'll go 40:12 and 13. Now we'll just move through here. And Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup unto his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. And that was 40:13, and we'll go to 16. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had three white baskets on my head. And in 18, and Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation thereof. The three baskets are 3 days. Then the 19. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee. It appears the baker did not fare as well in the interpretation of the dream. In Genesis 42:17, and he put them all together in toward 3 days. Genesis 45:22. To all of them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. Now you look at something like that, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't 297, it wasn't 403, it was 300 pieces. Exodus 2:2. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Exodus 3:18. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and ye shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us. And now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Exodus 5:3. And they said, the God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days journey into the desert and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. And again in Exodus 8:27, we will go 3 days journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us. Exodus 10:22 and 23. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Exodus 15:22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Exodus 21:11. And if he did not these three unto her, then shall she go out free without money. Women sold into servitude had distinct protections, including the right to be betrothed or redeemed, and were guaranteed basic provisions and rights, food, clothing, marital rights. Were the basic provisions guaranteed? And in this case, if they were not provided, then she was set to go free. Exodus 23:14. Three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. 17. Three times in the year all thy males shall appear before the Lord God. 25. Exodus 25:32 and 33. And six branches shall come out of the sides of it. Three branches of the candlestick out of the one side, and three branches of the candlestick out of the other side. Three bowls made like unto almonds, with a knop and a flower in one branch, and three bowls made like almonds in the other branch, with a knop and a flower. So in the six branches that came out of the candlesticks. Exodus 27:1. And thou shalt make an altar of shittim wood, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad. The altar shall be 4 square, and the height thereof shall be 3 cubits. The hangings of one side of the gate shall be 15 cubits, and their pillars 3, and their sockets 3. And I find it interesting just in this one, you look at it. 15. It's divisible by 3. 27:15. And the other side, and on the other side shall be hanging 15 cubits. Their pillars 3 and their sockets 3. Huh? I just Yeah, it's basically the same thing there. In Exodus 32:28, and the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. Not about 2,000, not about 4,000, not about 2,843, an exacting number, but 3. Exodus 37:18. And 6 branches going out of the sides thereof, 3 branches of the candlestick out of the one side thereof, and 3 branches of the candlestick out of the other side thereof. This is the description of the construction of the menorah that would be used in the tabernacle. Exodus 37:19. 3 bowls made after the fashion of almonds in one branch, a knop and a flower, and 3 bowls made like almonds in another branch, a knop and a flower. So throughout the 6 branches going out of the candlestick. Vigilance, faithfulness. In Hebrew, the word for almond shares a root with to watch. The blossoms represent God's watchful care and covenant promises. Life and fruitfulness. As the first tree to bloom in Israel, the almond branch symbolizes resurrection, spiritual vitality, and fruitfulness. Divine light. The menorah provided the only light in the holy place, symbolizing the eternal light of God's presence and revelation. So go to Exodus again, 38:1. And he made the altar of burnt offering of shittim wood, 5 cubits was the length thereof, and 5 cubits the breadth thereof. It was 4 square and 3 cubits the height thereof. Didn't I read that one already? Sometimes the same thing comes up, and that one confused me a moment. Leviticus 19:23. And when ye shall come into the land, and shall have planted all manner of trees for food, then ye shall count the fruit thereof as uncircumcised. 3 years shall it be as uncircumcised unto you. It shall not be eaten. And in 25:21. Then I will command my blessing upon you in the 6th year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. Leviticus 27:6. And if it be from a month old, even unto 5 years old, then thy estimation shall be of the male 5 shekels of silver, and for the female thy estimation shall be 3 shekels of silver. So you constantly being shown the number 3. And it does have a purpose. Numbers 10:33. And they departed from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey. And the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them in the 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. Numbers 12:4. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses, and unto Aaron, and unto Miriam, come out ye 3 unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they 3 came out. Numbers 22:28. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee, that thou hast smitten me these 3 times? That is pretty important there. Numbers 22:32. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these 3 times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. Here in Numbers 22, We see an example of the spiritual blindness that Balaam had in his endeavor to pursue other measures such as a curse upon Israel. The ass upon which he was transported saw the angel of the Lord before he did. And Numbers 22:33. When the ass saw me and turned from me these three times, unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. Numbers 24:10. And Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he smote his hands together, and Balak said unto Balaam, I called thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast altogether blessed them these three times. Numbers 35:14. Ye shall give three cities on this side of Jordan, and three cities shall ye give in the land of Canaan, which shall be cities of refuge. Three is a prevalent number used in the book of Numbers. While it is not a number that stands by itself when used most of the time, it is a prevalent aspect of each one of the accountings contained in the scriptures and some of the chapters in Numbers. The number three biblically represents divine wholeness, completeness, and perfection. If ever there was a desire to highlight an idea, thought, event, or noteworthy figure in the Bible for their prominence, the number three was used to put a divine stamp of completion or fulfillment on the subject again. So next thought here was the number 12. And the significance in the King James Version. The 12 tribes of Israel, originating from the 12 sons of Jacob, the tribes represent the entirety of God's covenant people in the Old Testament. The 12 apostles. In the New Testament, Jesus chose 12 disciples to symbolize the foundation of the Christian church, directly mirroring the 12 tribes. Completeness and sufficiency. From the 12 wells of water at Elim, Exodus 15:27, and they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. To the 12 baskets left over bread after Jesus fed the multitudes, Matthew 14:20. And they did eat well and were filled, and they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. 12 often signifies that God's provision is complete. Heavenly architecture. The book of Revelation frequently uses 12 to describe the New Jerusalem, which features 12 gates, 12 angels, and 12 foundations. And might I add, divisible by three. Now we look at Revelation 21:10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. And we'll go ahead and read, that's going to be Revelation 21:10-17. Having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates, jump back too far. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth of the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. 144. What's 12 times 12? 144. And might I add, also divisible by 3. Looking to math, we see where there were 3 doors on each side of the structure, and 3 can be divided into 12 evenly. We also look at the measure of 12,000 furlongs, which is divisible by 3. And then we have 144 cubits, which is divisible by 12 or 3. All of this is indicative of a master design and purpose rather than thoughts and ideas and elements cobbled together. Next, we're going to go to speak about the importance of punctuation. 1 Timothy 4:13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And again, we got punctuation in here, commas, very important, how it's read, how it's meant, what is the meaning, the importance of those words and the meaning and how they're conveyed. John 11:11. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awaken him out of sleep. 12:13-14 here. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death. Full stop. But they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Acts 7:60. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Stephen uttered these words when he was being stoned, and he finally succumbed to these actions and was asleep in Jesus. Very interesting. I had somebody say, well, he was dead. Why do you not just say he was dead in Jesus? Because the death is the sin. Asleep in Jesus means that he is, even though he is asleep in Jesus and sleeping, he is still alive in Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15:18. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Paul was making the point here that without the resurrection, those who fell asleep in Christ would then be in a permanent sleep. For without the resurrection, there is no return to life. Luke 23:42 and 43. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. The comma should actually be placed after today. Thus Jesus said to the one malefactor, Today I say, that ultimately you will be with me in paradise. And this is one that, gets, I think, misconstrued, misunderstood quite often. You know, that you're immediately conveyed up and you're floating in the clouds. Ephesians 4:8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. You notice how I'm reading this, I'm pausing. That comma is a pause. It's not a change of thought, but it is a shift in each one of the thoughts, each one of the sentences. Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some apostles, semicolon, and some prophets, semicolon, and some evangelists, semicolon, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. In Ephesians 4:11, it is important to understand that the placement of the comma after each of the word is indicative of the fact that gifts were not given of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. This was not a statement that gifts were given to these entitled individuals. In other words, they were given of apostles. Some were given apostles. Some were given prophets. Some were given evangelists. So in Titus 1:6, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. Even though in the KJV, we do not see a comma after faithful children. It does not separate the two phrases, faithful children, from accused of riot or unruly. You don't want to just read it right straight through in one conglomerated sentence of words. Commas, colons, semicolons, parentheses. It is important to know how these simple marks on a page can change the meaning in a verse and assist in clarity. Whether it be punctuation, numerical elements, or particular words, it is important to note all of the significant aspects these elements provide and that they lend themselves to a great measure of consistency throughout this book wherein is contained the wondrous plan and words of God. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day and opportunity to live and breathe again. We have this day to experience the greatness of your creation and your wisdom. We shall bear witness this day forward that there is nothing that is part of creation that was not made by you. And therefore, all thanks be to you, Lord, for what we have to nourish our bodies and to nourish our souls and to do that which would be pleasing to you. We pray in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen.